All right, if you would turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and we're going to read there in verse 1. And what we want to talk about today is we want to look at the subject matter, or discuss the subject matter, did the church start in Acts chapter 2? I think it's very important that we understand and we know where the church, the body of Christ, began. Because only by knowing where it began would we know the proper doctrine to apply to the church, which is the body of Christ. Now, let me say at the outset that most fundamentalists believe that the church started in Acts chapter 2. People that are saved, people that believe salvation by grace, many of them believe the church started in Acts chapter 2. I do not believe that. I believe the church started with the Apostle Paul. And when I say the church, I'm talking about the church, the body of Christ. Now understand that there is a church in Acts chapter 2. It's the church of Jerusalem. It's a Jewish church. And there was something that took place in Acts chapter 2. But rather than being something new, what we really find in Acts chapter 2 is simply a continuation of the prophetic program and that which was old. Look in Acts chapter 2 in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. Now, in most of the discussions that I've had with people, and I appreciated something I heard at the Bible conference this week, and that is that, you know, there's no need to argue the Scriptures. It's good to discuss the Scriptures. And I've discussed this with many people that differ from me, and you can have civil discussions. But most of the people, almost without exception, that I've had a discussion with about where the church started, that believe that it started in Acts chapter 2, believe that it started in Acts chapter 2 because of the Spirit being poured out in Acts chapter 2. But what we have to understand is that the Spirit being poured out, there's nowhere in the Bible that says the Spirit being poured out constitutes the beginning of the church. That's something that people have just come up with. What we do find in Acts chapter 2, as I mentioned, is that what is taking place there is a fulfillment of prophecy, the prophetic program. In Acts chapter 2, verse 16, Peter says, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." Notice there he said, it shall come to pass in the last days, and he says in verse 16, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. So we don't have something new. In other words, if the church started in Acts chapter 2, there would be something new there. This is not something new. This is a continuation of the prophetic program, and it's not something new. As a matter of fact, it's the last days for the nation Israel. And they can go back to the Old Testament. Those Israelites could go back to the Old Testament. They could read Joel chapter 2. They could read Isaiah chapter 13. And they could find there the things that Peter is preaching in Acts chapter 2. In contrast with that, in Acts chapter 9, in Acts 9, we have the salvation of the Apostle Paul. In Acts chapter 9, Paul at this time named Saul. Verse 1 says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying, unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Over in Acts chapter 13, we find the church in Antioch. Acts 13:1, there were in the church that was Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, notice the Holy Ghost said, Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I've called them. So, when we see the word church in the Bible, it's not always referring to the same thing. There was a church in the wilderness in the Old Testament. There is a Jewish church in Acts chapter 2. But there is a church that is identified by the Apostle Paul as the body of Christ. And we find that only in Paul's epistles. And so when Peter's preaching in Acts chapter 2, he said, This is an indication of what's taking place here, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the preaching, the speaking in tongues. He said, This is an indication that we're in the last days, and this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It was a prophetic program. Paul, on the other hand, is saved in Acts chapter 9. In Acts 13, 2, is sent out. And in Acts chapter 20, we find out what that ministry is. Actually, we find it throughout the book of Acts, after Acts chapter 15. But in Acts 13, 2, he says there that you're to separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. And over in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, Paul says, But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So we see several things. Number one, the kingdom church of Acts chapter 2 is a continuation of the Old Testament program. The church, which is the body of Christ, began with the salvation and the commissioning of Saul, who is later called Paul. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, there were believers added to that church daily, such as should be saved. The church, the body of Christ, was not even in effect at that time, and so those people were not added to the body of Christ. The body of Christ did not start till the Apostle Paul, as in Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 13. The preaching in Acts chapter 2 to that church is teaching in relation to the prophetic program which was given to the nation Israel. Paul's preaching, he says, was to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1, we find a statement there by the Apostle Paul in regard to his salvation. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, he says, And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, and a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now notice verse 16, very important. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy that in me first. Now, think about that. Peter said, These are the last days. Peter was dealing with something that was last. It was something that was coming to a conclusion. Paul said in relation to his salvation that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. The very nature of the word first is to indicate a beginning, something that is starting anew. And that's exactly what you have with the salvation of the Apostle Paul. It was through him that the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated his grace, showing us that something new is beginning with the salvation of the Apostle Paul. As a matter of fact, if you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you find that the Apostle Paul, in talking about his ministry, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, he said, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder." That word master builder is like our word today of architect, one that is the chief designer. He said, "It was given unto me as a wise master builder." And he said, "I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." You know, there's something very important about that statement of Paul there. Because if Paul laid the foundation for the church, the body of Christ, and the reward in the same chapter here, verse 14, "If any man's work which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward." So if the reward is based upon building upon that foundation, where is the reward for those in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6? If the church, the body of Christ, started back there because the foundation was not even laid yet. So Paul laid the foundation. Not only that, but in the preaching and teaching, we need to notice that in Acts, the Acts church there, the church at Jerusalem, the Jewish church, in Acts chapter 3, Peter, the as I said before, it's according to prophecy, and it's an offer of the kingdom. Jesus Christ told the 12, he said, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come." And that was spoken in Matthew 24 before Christ went to the cross. This gospel of the kingdom should be preached in all the world. Now, in Acts chapter 3, in verse 16, let's go back to verse 14. "You denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murder to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance you did it, as did also your fathers. But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he is so fulfilled." Well then, what is Peter preaching? He's preaching that which the prophets had said would come. And in relation to that, he says in verse 19, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." In other words, that Jewish church there was offered the coming kingdom if they would repent, be baptized for remission of sins, and be converted. He said, "Your sins will be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." You can identify that time of refreshing back in the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 31, verse 17, Isaiah 28, 12, and also in Hebrews chapter 4. It's spoken of as the day of rest. And that day of refreshing is the day when God's people will be able to rest in that kingdom with their King, the Lord Jesus Christ. That was according to prophecy. He said, "Those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all of his prophets." Well, notice how different Paul's ministry is, as he indicates in Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul is writing back to the church at Ephesus, and he says there in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel." You see, Paul was given the revelation of the mystery. He was given as a matter of fact, in Galatians chapter 1, he said, "I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, but by revelation of Jesus Christ." Now, you know, people, we just need to use just some real common sense. You've got 12 men that are selected. Matthias replaces Judas in Acts chapter 1. And those 12 are given a specific commission. That specific commission is to preach that gospel of the kingdom. That gospel of the kingdom is repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Repent and be converted, your sins may be blotted out. That is nothing new. That you can go all the way back in the Old Testament and see that the day of wrath was to precede the coming kingdom. John said, "Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Matthew 3. And then the kingdom was to be established when Christ would return. That's all according to prophecy. Paul said, "I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given to me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery." In other words, there was some information imparted to the Apostle Paul that had never been given to anybody else. That information is that Jew and Gentile would be saved in the same body and be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ. How? By the gospel. You see, prior to the revelation of the Apostle Paul, Gentile salvation would have been through the nation Israel. There was always the ability of a Gentile to be saved if they did it God's way. How was a Gentile to be saved? By going through Israel. By blessing Israel. By acknowledging the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And acknowledging that they were the people of God. And so forth. And so, when Paul writes this, he says, the mystery is that the Jew and Gentile now are going to be in one body by the gospel. What is that gospel? The gospel is that Christ died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again the third day. And he was raised for our justification. And Paul said that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Now, it's interesting when you consider, again, some of the differences. The prophetic program versus the mystery program. The church at Jerusalem, 12 apostles. Look back in Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, in verse number 16, "Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus." I'm not going to take time to read all this. Verse 17, "For he was numbered with us and obtained part of this ministry." Then down in verse 24, "They prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of his ministry and apostleship, which Judas by transgression failed, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles." Steve mentioned in Sunday school this morning about how that Paul would not qualify for that position. Why? Because it says in verse 21 of that same chapter, "Wherefore of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection." So Paul was not with them. Paul would not have fit the position. And yet there are multitudes of people who say, that the disciples were out of God's will when they chose Matthias, and Paul was really the 12th apostle. Not so. Those 12 apostles will sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel, and they were sent to that church there at Jerusalem, and in that church daily there were those being added to it, but it was not the church which is the body of Christ. that church began with the Apostle Paul. And Paul said, the Bible says in Acts 9:15, that Paul's ministry was to be to the Gentiles. Paul said, I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify my office. He said in Romans chapter 15, Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision, confirming the promises made unto the fathers. And in that same chapter says that I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office. Now, so there are many differences, and throughout the next several weeks, we're going to look at these differences between the church in Acts 2, that is the continuation of the prophetic program, and the church, the body of Christ. But in our last few minutes here today, I want you to notice something else drastically different about the ministries of the 12 and the church at Jerusalem and the ministry of the Apostle Paul to the church, the body of Christ. We need to compare a couple of verses of Scripture, Matthew 28 and 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, most of you probably are familiar that are listening to this, that Matthew 28, the end of Matthew 28 is what is called today the Great Commission. And it is a Great Commission, and it was given to the 12. And it's in relation to preaching the gospel of the kingdom. In Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, notice, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You see that commission, again, in Mark chapter 16. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And one more time, in the book of Luke, I just want you to understand that these disciples were given specific instructions about what to preach, who to preach to, and what to do, and what their power would be while carrying out that ministry. In Luke chapter 24, verse 45, then opened he, that's Christ, their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Luke 24:45. In verse 46, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. And you'll find every one of those commissions are fulfilled by the disciples in the early part of Acts. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the commission is given there. And in Matthew, he said, you're to go teaching all nations to observe whatsoever I've commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now I want you to notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. It's important that we believe the words written on the page, because that's all we can put our faith in. Listen, folks, we have the Word of God, a perfect, pure, preserved Word of God. And if God Almighty told those disciples to go into all the world, preach the gospel, teach people to observe all things, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and yet in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, our apostle, the Apostle Paul, said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Now, I know immediately people think, well, but Paul did baptize some. That's a separate study within itself. And we don't have time to deal with that today. But the issue is that even though Paul baptized some, he makes a very definite statement that Christ sent me not to baptize. Then if Christ sent him not to baptize, there is no way possible that the Apostle Paul could be operating under the same commission that was given to the 12 when they were told specifically to baptize. And so the church there at Jerusalem practiced the kingdom practices, the doctrine that was associated with the nation Israel, while we see the church, the body of Christ, given some new instructions by the man who was said that in me first he might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them who should hereafter believe. As a matter of fact, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, we see another illustration or another statement by Paul that specifically states that he was not one of the 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, number one, we read back in Acts, Matthias was chosen to be the 12th. Number two, they weren't operating under the same commission. One group was sent to baptize. Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize. Notice what he says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 4. This is back to verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain at this present time, but some have fallen asleep. After that, He was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, He was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. Now, if Paul was one of the 12, why did he say that last of all, He was seen of the 12, and then seen of me? You see, Paul differentiates himself from the 12 very plainly here, and not only here but in the other verses that we've looked at. So we see that the apostles that were sent forth, the disciples that were sent forth in Acts chapter 2, their ministry was to the nation Israel. Peter says three times in Acts chapter 2, you men of Israel, hear these words. There was a church there. It was a prophetic church. It was the last days for the nation Israel, but with the apostle Paul and the salvation of Paul, we see the beginning of something brand new. And that which is brand new is that mystery church, that church that had never been made known before, and that message that would be preached in order to establish that church and bring about the salvation of that church, the ministry of preaching the gospel of the grace of God. And that's what our ministry is today. You see, the reason that it's so important that we understand these things, folks, is because we never want to have clouded judgment in relation to what we are to preach. We're not to preach, repent, be baptized for remission of sins. We're to preach, Christ died for your sins, He was buried, and He rose again the third day. That's the gospel of the grace of God. That's the gospel whereby people believe, and when a person believes that gospel, they're saved. When they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. And by one Spirit, they're all baptized into one body. And that body is the church, the body of Christ. And the only way you can get into that body is not by joining a local church, it's by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's a glorious church, made up by people that believe a glorious gospel, that have a glorious future, a glorious hope. And it's a wonderful thing to know that that church we're a part of is today seated with Christ in heavenly places. In Christ, we're seated together with Him in heavenly places. And so, if you want to be part of the church, let me tell you, it's far more important than that you be part of that church. The church is the body of Christ, and it is to be part of any local church. And everybody in that church is in that church because they've trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Regardless of what tag we might put on ourselves, the most important thing is that we're members of His body.